last time, we said that there are two souls inside of each one of us. So as opposed to the discussion of whether a person has a soul, you know, they debate a person has a soul, person doesn't have a soul. We're like, no. The question is not whether a person has a soul. The question is, how many souls does a person have? So we have two souls. And every desire, every thought, and every action that we have are for sure coming from one of them. It is similar to a computer that has dual operating system. You know that there is, you know, PC with Windows, and then there's a Mac with Mac OS, and then there are computers that you could run both of these systems. And you put in a program, and you open a file, and it's working. And people who use it on the user end often don't even know which operating system is working right now. In other words, it's a program, Photoshop. Photoshop could work both on PC and on Mac. And I open a Photoshop file, and I'm working with Photoshop, and I actually have to look inside to see which operating system right now am I running, because I don't know. So our lives are very similar to that, because we have our thoughts that just fall into our heads. We have our feelings that we just wake up with, and we don't know where they come from. We want to do things, we do things, and we very often don't even know which soul are these feelings, thoughts, and actions come from. We just don't know. And we need to look deep inside to figure out which one is it. So we have this animalistic soul, and we have a godly soul. The godly soul is godly. It wants only what God wants. The animalistic soul is not bad, it's not evil, it's just animalistic, it's selfish. Being selfish is not always bad. People do very good things because of selfish reasons, sometimes. So in the non-Jewish world that we see around us, we most of the time hear about the battle between the good and the evil. There are positive forces and then there are negative forces, and they are fighting with each other. It's not what the Torah is teaching us. The Torah is teaching us that it is a battle between our animalistic inclination and our godly inclination. And the goal is not to eliminate your enemy. The goal is to conquer your enemy. Why is it? Because if our animalistic soul will eliminate our godly soul, then we'll have nothing godly and nothing above us. And if our godly soul will eliminate our animalistic soul, then we won't be able to live in this world anymore. Our godly soul does not want to kill our animalistic soul, because it is only because of our animalistic soul that our godly soul is able to be here. I won't be able to be a physical person with hands, feet, and a head and talking to you right now if I'm not going to have my animalistic soul, which makes my body be alive. So the godly soul, which is in me, is not looking to kill its competitor. It's looking to become in charge of it, to control it. So the question is really, which one is going to be in charge? Who am I going to be listening to? And that's the struggle that we are going through every single day. We said that all other religions, all other spiritual systems are talking to people about peace and tranquility. And they say that if you will follow us, you're going to be at peace and you're going to achieve inner calm, because people have inner struggles, and these ideologies are claiming to help people to eliminate these inner struggles, these inner dichotomies. The Torah is telling us something completely different. You're going to have the struggle your whole life. Don't even hope, don't even try to achieve this inner peace. You're going to have the struggle. We are going to help you deal with the struggle, but don't think that you will do away with the struggle ever. So now let's talk about how the struggle is playing out in a real sense. There are two types of animalistic desires that we have. Some of them are actually evil. Some of them are bad. Like if somebody gets me mad and I want to kill him, That's bad. Why? Because Torah says not to kill. I hope you agree. And I hope you can relate also. There are desires which are negative, and we need to suppress them. We need to control them. We need to make sure that they will not escape into the outside world of ours. That's number one. Other animalistic desires need to be channeled. If I have a desire to become famous, I can utilize this desire by doing something good. I can become famous. So I can do a lot of good things because of my egotistic wants, because of my egotistic desires. That's a way of channeling my animalistic desires. We can figure out a lot of times how we can channel them. We just need to see how and when and where. The same thing is, by the way, with when you raise kids, when you educate kids, especially when they're younger. People who come to my classes know already I have a trick. You see, I'm showing my hand here. I'm revealing all of my tricks to you. When I try to explain things a lot of times to adults, I bring examples of little kids and how they would educate little kids. And I do it only because it is easier to talk about little kids, because we look at ourselves as above them and removed from them. And it's never personal when we talk about kids. But then, oops, and I got you, because now you will see that the same thing is with you yourself. And people are like, oops, oh boy. So when we try to educate little kids, we very often are trying to figure out how to channel their desires into a positive direction. We see that this guy likes doing things with his hands. Okay, let's see what he can fix, what he can build. This girl wants to be in charge. Let's put her in charge of some project, and she will be able to use her desire to be in charge in a positive way. So the same thing works with us. I'm going to tell you now two Kabbalistic words, two words from Kabbalistic terminology. One of them is called kohot, which means the powers, the potential. And the other one is called levushim, which means clothing, dresses, things that we wear. So our soul, each one of our souls, the animalistic soul and the godly soul, they both have both. They both have kohot, which means powers, and they both have levushim, which means clothing. Their powers are innate to them, and they cannot be eliminated. They can be only either expressed or not expressed. If I have a power to lift 100 pounds, I can either use it and lift 100 pounds, or not use it, not lift 100 pounds. There's this old Russian joke about this Jew who came to get a job at a construction site, and the foreman is asking him, what can you do? He says, I can dig. The foreman is not very impressed. Can you do anything else? This Jewish guy thinks, says, yeah. He says, what else can you do? I could not dig. So if I have a potential, if I have a power, I can either use it, I could express it, or not use it, not express it. That's it. There are only two options. But it's always going to be there. It's always there. I have no control over its existence. What about levushim? Levushim means clothing. I can walk around in a Hawaiian shirt with shorts and flip-flops, and I can be wearing a suit and a tie the next day. Am I a different person when I'm wearing flip-flops, shorts, and Hawaiian shirt? No, I'm the same person. It's the same me. I didn't become smarter, stupider, stronger, weaker. It's the same me. But these are my clothing, my articles of clothing, and I can present myself differently through them. A lot of times people change, they put a different dress, and you don't recognize them. And by the way, with the girls, it's more often than with the guys. Do you know how many times I've run into some woman at this bar mitzvah or something when she's all dressed up, and I literally didn't recognize her because all the time before I saw her in a store? People change a lot, but it's the same person. So levushim, we have our levushim, are our thoughts, our speech, and our action. These are three articles of clothes that we have. If I have certain desire, I have no control to have it or not have it. I have control to express it or not to express it. That's a different story. But I have no control to have a desire or not have a desire. If I have an initial thought that just came into my head, I have no control whether it's going to fall into my head or not. Whether I'm developing this thought later or not, that's already up to me. Whether I'm dwelling it, whether I'm thinking about it. So first one is whether I'm continuing to think about something. Second one is whether I'm speaking about it. A lot of times it's really hard not to say something that you really want to say, or there is a thought that you want to share with somebody, but you know you shouldn't. This is the second one. And third one is an action. You sometimes want to do something, but you know you shouldn't do it, or you could do something else instead of that. So thought, speech, and action. Three clothing items that our souls have. So the powers of our soul cannot be changed. It cannot be easily manipulated at will. But the clothing we can. You don't always have to act upon your thoughts or desires. There's a very interesting thing. Out of these three things, thought, speech, and action, which one is the easiest to control? The easiest of the three, I think, is action. Because most often when you want to say something, it's very hard not to say it. But it's much easier not to do something. Most people have pretty good control of whether they do something or don't. But at the same time, most often people don't have such a good control of whether they say exactly what they want or they don't. So the easiest one to control is your actions. Speech is harder to control than your actions, but it's easier to control than your thoughts. Your thoughts are the hardest to control. If you are dwelling on something, if you are really worried about something and you are thinking about it, and I will tell you, you know what, think about something else. Here, I'll give you a book. Think about this book. No matter how interesting the book is, it's going to be hard for you to focus on this book. So your thoughts are the hardest to control. God did us a favor, and he created us in a way that the effect of these three levushim, these three articles of clothing on the world around us is in the opposite order. Our thoughts, if they stay inside our head, have very minimal, if any, effect on the world around us. Our words have obviously bigger effect than our thoughts, and our actions have even bigger effect than our words. So in other words, the things that have the biggest effect on the world around us are the easiest to control. And these three things, speech, word in action, is actually how our soul is expressing itself in this world. You see, I express myself in this world through my clothing. I have a tendency not to walk around in my pajamas on a street. And probably most of people don't do that as well. I have certain way how I dress. Why do I dress this way? Because this is how I want to be perceived. This is how I want people to see me, because this is what I feel comfortable, because this is what I grew up with and that's what I'm used to. It could be many reasons, but at the end of the day, this is how I want the outside world to relate to me. I know people who always dress in a casual clothes. I know somebody who had an important job appointment and he said, I'm coming in my t-shirt, in my jeans. If they don't hire me, too bad, but that's how I am getting dressed. Why? I don't know why. I once had a neighbor who would always make fun of me. Whenever he would see me, he would scream to me, Rabbi, do you own a pair of jeans? And I would tell him no. And he thought it was the funniest thing that I don't have jeans. So I don't wear jeans, and this guy wears only jeans. Why? Because just that's how we relate to the world around us. So our soul relates to the world around us through its clothing, thoughts, speech, and action. And just like I can choose my clothing, even though it might be not my style, it might be difficult for me, like for this guy who wears only jeans and t-shirt, it might be difficult, it might be something which I'm not used to, but I'm capable of it. The same thing is with the clothing of my soul, my speech, my words, and my action, I can choose them. Sometimes difficult, I need to change my style, but I'm capable of it. And this is why the Torah speaks so much about us being able to choose how we interact with the world around us. Specifically, Hasidus is teaching us how to influence our surroundings, and we have a choice. It is our conscious decision how we do that with these three things. And this is very different from how the world around us is looking at who people are and who we are. I'll bring you an example. There was once a president in the US whose name was Jimmy Carter. He's still alive. He's 80-something years old now, I believe. And he did not have a track record of a big friend of the Jews in Israel. But this story actually has a pretty positive description of his. When he was running for the office during his presidential campaign, he was asked whether or not he ever had a feeling of attraction to any woman besides for his wife. And he was very honest, and he said, yes, I did. Once, there was a lady who was working in my office, and I felt attraction to her, and I knew that it was wrong towards my wife, and I realized that the only way for me to fix the situation is to transfer her somewhere else so we should not be meeting each other every day at work. So I actually transferred her to a similar position in a different department so we would not end up seeing each other face to face every day. And then I just forgot about her. He was honest. Something that today in the political world seems to be impossible. First of all, for a politician to be honest, that's the initial threshold that we need to somehow get over. And then that he would actually say a unflattering story about him in an honest way. And if a politician has a female subordinate worker who he feels attraction to, unfortunately, from what we see in the news, usually they take different actions than the one of Jimmy Carter, unfortunately. But he was honest and he said what he said. There was an uproar. How can we trust a person to be a president if he is so immoral and such a bad person? He fell in love with a different woman besides for his wife. And that was all over the news. From the non-Jewish perspective, from the perspective of the world around us, which is, I'm assuming, mostly fueled by the Christian approach to life, this is, I guess, a legitimate complaint against Jimmy Carter. But in spite of his politics, I actually have something to say in his defense in this situation. From the Torah perspective, not only he didn't do anything wrong, from the Torah perspective, he actually did everything he should have done, and he cannot be blamed for anything. Why? Because our feelings are not in our immediate control. I cannot control whether I fall in love with somebody or not. I just can't. What I can do, I can choose what I do about it. I'm not in control of my powers. I'm in control of my clothing. If I wake up in the morning, I have no way of choosing whether my head is going to be hurting this day or not. I cannot choose whether I will feel tired or I will feel energized. I cannot choose that. These are my powers. I can choose what I'll wear. And you know what? If I wake up in a bad mood, I can choose to wear things that will reflect that. Or I can choose to wear something else. I can choose to wear something bright and happy and positive, even though I'm in a bad mood, even though I woke up with a headache. It's up to me. So if Jimmy Carter fell in love with somebody, happens. He's not in control of that. But he then figured it, he needs to fix the situation. He transferred her somewhere else where they would not be bumping into each other at work, and everything was fine. This is the difference between our clothing and our powers. If I would tell you that I am giving you $1 million not to eat your favorite food for a year, probably you would take $1 million and you would not eat this favorite food for a year. What if I'll tell you, I want you to start hating your favorite food, and I have a polygraph. I'm going to be giving you polygraph tests every single day during this year. And if you will really hate this favorite food of yours, then I'll give you $1 million at the end of the year. Do you think you will be able to tackle this challenge? I don't think so. I cannot start hating things that I love, just like this. I mean, if I work really hard, I might be able to. The fundamental work of Hasidus is called the Book of Tanya. You probably heard about it. It is telling us two things. It is telling us that, first of all, your main goal is to be in charge of your levushim, your clothing, because the main thing is how you interact with the world around. Now, you should try to control it. But then, if your feelings and your thoughts are constantly contradicting your external actions, it creates a friction. It is very hard to wake up every morning and put on a happy dress if you are in a bad mood. So what do you do? So the Book of Tanya is also explaining how to work on your emotions, that your kohot, your powers, should start matching your levushim, your external clothing. So you can do that. It's possible, but it just requires more work. That's why I was making sure to say it's not under our immediate control, which means I cannot do it right now. I could work on it, and if I work hard enough, then in the future I will be able to change it. But right now, when I need a quick fix, I cannot do that. There's no pill that I could take that's going to change me. So that's the idea of today. So last time we spoke about the two souls that we have. Today we spoke about how these souls express themselves in this world. The Torah's mitzvahs are all about action. The Torah is telling me to love my fellow. What does it mean? Love seems to be an emotion. So if I sit on my couch and I'm thinking, you know what? I have this neighbor, his name is John, and I love him. And I love John. I love him. I love him. And then John knocks on my door and he says, hey, I am with a pickup truck and they brought a new couch to my house. I need someone to help me bring this couch into my house. Could you please help me? And I'm telling him, no, I'm too tired. I can't do that. Sorry. And then I go back to my couch and I'm thinking, oh, I love my neighbor John. I love my neighbor John. I love my neighbor John. Will I be fulfilling the mitzvah to love my neighbor? No. But what if I cannot stand this John's guts? I really hate the guy. But then he knocks on my door and he asks me to help him to haul his couch. And I'm telling him, sure. And I go help him bring this couch into his house. Will I fulfill the mitzvah to love my neighbor? Yes, because the mitzvah to love my neighbor is not about the emotions which I'm having in my heart. The mitzvah to love my neighbor is about acting in a specific way. And this is with regards to mitzvah, which is telling us to love. And for sure it's true with the mitzvah, which is telling us to do something specifically. There's no mitzvah to love matzah. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach. There are people who love matzah. There are people who don't like matzah. They both fulfill mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach the same way. I got news for you. Every Yom Kippur, I am hungry. I want to eat. Am I violating anything in the Torah when I'm experiencing my hunger, my desire to eat? No! I'm not a bad person for wanting to eat. I'm not a bad Jew because I'm feeling hunger pains. Wanting to eat on Yom Kippur does not make me a bad Jew. Eating on Yom Kippur, that makes me a bad Jew. So the Torah is telling us that just like it is easy for us to change our clothes, it is easy for us to change our speech, thought, and action, and that's what we need to focus on primarily.